I can board.
Guoyu, I can board and selected by ASO and two years ago.
Tim McGinnis, interested bystander.
Wilfried Weber on the ASO for the RIPE NCC service region.
Bruno Lanvin, I can board.
Tony Smith from AP NIC.
Craig Ng, AP NIC General Counsel and a member of the CRISP team.
Leslie Nobile with Aaron.
Chris Buckridge with RIPE NCC.
Narani Nipuno Netnode, a member of the CRISP team.
Marcus Kummer, I can board.
Wolfgang Kleinwächter, I can board.
Gonzalo Navarro, ICANN board.
Jonas Hoininen, the IETF liaison to the ICANN board.
John Curran, ARIN president and CEO.
Dmitry Burkov, RIPNC executive board member.
Cyranuj Vardanyan, AP Rallo chair, ICANN at large.
Nebu Fumok, RIPNC executive board.
Aisha Hemrajani, ICANN board.
Good morning, Tomohiro Fujisaki, ASOAC member from APNIC.
Ricardo Patara, ASOAC for our LACNIC region.
Alan Barrett, member of the ASOAC from the AFRINIC region, also a member of the CRISP team.
I'm Paul Wilson, the head of APNIC.
Ron De Silva, also ASOAC from the ARIN region.
Shireen Chalabi, ICANN board.
I'm Bruce Tonkin. Right, thank you. No, not another time. Right, very nice. We have a couple of agenda points that we would like to raise, but before we start with that, I would like to say thank you for giving us the opportunity to present ourselves in the opening session. We did talk about more exposure for the RERs, the ASO, the NRO, within the ICANN surroundings for a while, and we are very happy with the way it panned out, that our recommendations were taken seriously, and we had an opportunity to do this. And I couldn't be there this time myself, but from what I've heard, it was quite a nice session, so I would hope that we continue with that. Thank you very much for that opportunity. So the main thing these days, IANA stewardship transition. As you have seen, we brought quite a number of the crispies, the people, as we call them, lovingly. Those guys that were responsible for gauging the input from the RERs communities and working very hard over Christmas and New Year and then postponing their holidays to hit the deadline on the 15th of January and come up with a good proposal. I'm happy to say, at least in my view, that's what they did, and we have a nice proposal out there. I don't know how we want to do this. You probably have read it. If you have any questions, I would invite you to voice them. Go away.
since I'm the ICANN board liaison in the ICG group, and first of all, many thanks for the NRO-ASO is coming out with the proposal, one of the very first two proposals to ICG. I think that is a very important contribution. At least the people can look around the differences of the communities, because at the moment we saw the two proposals. One is from ASO and NRO, and another one actually from the IETF. And I think the people in this community really, from these two proposals, can figure out the cultural difference, the organization operation difference among the different, the communities. And I think as an ICANN board liaison, really thanks for your contribution in this ICG process. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ray.
Thank you, Axel. One thing I noted about this proposal, the philosophy behind it is exactly the same philosophy that we had in 2002 when ICANN was going through its reform process. And the one thing that amazes me that no one outside of the ASO, NRO understands that, and which is a really, a, for lack of a better term, a big shame. So if you if everybody else understood what the basis was and what the intent was, I don't think you'd see so many disparaging comments about some aspects of the proposal. I'm also curious amongst the Crispies who snap, pap, crackle, and pop.
Oops. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, Wilfried Weber here. I don't know whether it is appropriate to raise this issue in this round, so please feel free to stop me at any time. One of the things that worried me when I was following the comments and the procedures for coming up with this proposal, as managed and organized by the CRISP team, is that obviously some individuals in the community seem to have a different interpretation for the term bottom-up. And I am a little bit worried that this different attitude to the architecture might put some sand between the cogwheels eventually. And I'm not really convinced that it's worth the effort and worth the time to detract the process and the CRISP team and everyone else in really speaking up and sort of making it part of the overall global discussion. But I am worried that in my interpretation and my perspective, some people think that bottom-up means that everyone in the street and her dog has to talk directly to the top-level node of the structure. And in my books, this is not bottom-up. In my book, bottom-up is regional organization, regional mandate for an organization or team members in a team like CRISP. And I am sure from my experience since 1990 or something like that in our region, if any of those individuals or the group itself would do something which is not in the interest and not compatible with the points of view of the community in that region, they would speak up immediately and do that very, very loudly. This has not happened. And so just my personal perspective and worries to share with you, and that's about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Wilfried. I naturally would agree with you. And I think if you look at the discussion items that turned up on the various mailing lists, of course there were a couple of opinions that were different from maybe the majority overall. But I believe all those comments were taken into account and discussed quite extensively, and maybe some of the CRISPies would like to talk to that. I've seen a couple of mails coming out of the CRISP team to the various mailings explaining what has happened into quite some detail. And for my part, I'm quite satisfied with the way it went. But if you wanna, Craig?
Thank you, Axel. I think from the CRISP team, we are very proud of the effort that we took to address every single item. So I have never seen a process that is so transparent and so comprehensive. Every single point that were raised on the mailing list was addressed in a spreadsheet that very carefully tracked what actually happened to it. And as frustrating as it is to get, may I say, ill-informed comments, I think we feel that it is within our role to explain to those people the differences in opinion about what bottom-up process means, what consensus means, and I think if we do that carefully and comprehensively, then the rest of the community can understand that our process is up to scratch and beyond criticism.
Thank you. Ivor Ray?
Thank you, Axel. It's not often I agree with a lawyer, but yes, I agree with you. And I'd like to echo Wilfried's comments. Unfortunately, when people interpret bottom-up, meaning that every single person has to have access to the top, it goes counter to developing consensus. bottom-up means is that everyone gets together and works out their differences and makes their compromises and so forth. So what's given to the top is a well-thought-out thing that represents the entire community. And what we continually are faced with are proposals that when one part of a group doesn't agree with it, they go to the top with it instead of trying to resolve it inside the body. And so, Wilfried, I really, really agree with you.
Bruce.
Yeah, thank you. Just might help me because I'm not sure of all, I'm not as close to this area as I am in, say, the naming community. But has the ASO itself formally then endorsed the report and effectively, because the way I would look at it is that the ASO would look at that report and say, in their view, this represents the sort of consensus in our community, and we I don't know whether they approve it or whether you endorse it or something, but has that step happening or likely to happen or has happened?
Wilfried?
So, sorry, Wilfried. To my knowledge, we have not gone through this exercise to formally endorse it or rubber stamp it. If and when sort of the community thinks this is a good thing to do, I would say we are probably or naturally in a position to do that. But we have to be conscious of the fact that the formal mandate of the ASO does not include that. So we can do that, no problem at all. I guess I will get consensus from all the other ASO members, but it would be sort of an informal endorsement and just sort of the group's position, but I don't think it would be a formal contribution.
No, that's right. We did discuss how we would deal with this in the beginning, and we exactly thought that the ASO AC in this sense doesn't have the mandate. They're looking after global policies. This is not a global policy, so this is off limits. We have obviously Christine has published a report on the various mailing lists, and there was quite a bit of not discussion, but support for the proposal as such from the communities, which through the process leading up to the drafting of the report agreed on, for instance, in the RIPE region, quite a number of principles that they would like to see there as well. I have Kovei.
I don't know if this is a right time to raise this one or put it after. You know, if you think that would be in the last one, I'm fine. That is kind of related to the INA transition. As you know, it's CCWG talking about accountabilities. And as I know, the IR actually is also participating in the CCWG, right? And what is the NRO-ASO point of view regarding for the accountability and also the relationship between this CCWG accountability to the INR stewardship transition stuff?
Does anybody want to speak to that? John?
John Curran. I want to make sure I understand the question. The question is, what do we see as the relationship to the community accountability effort versus the activity going on with respect to the CWG and the ICG development of a stewardship transition proposal? So we focus predominantly on the activities necessary to support the ICG in development of a stewardship transition proposal. That's been our primary focus. It is true that we have formal liaisons to the CCWG, which is meeting across the way, and they're in there now, and I'm watching it. The CCWG is a very dynamic environment with a lot of participants who have strong feelings about issues of ICANN accountability, predominantly based on their experiences within ICANN, which is predominantly related to DNS activities. So the we actually had some discussion of this this week. We are going to be paying attention. Particularly, we're going to make sure that the mechanisms that are being proposed don't create uncertainty for what we rely on ICANN for, which is for ratification of global policy, for example. But we don't think that's the case. So we're mostly monitoring and making sure that that ICANN is just as stable and productive at the end of this process as it is today.
But it's hard to really do a thorough analysis of the risks involved in the accountability measures being created because the CCWG hasn't gotten to that point to have a firm draft document to review.
Kobe.
Actually, I'm more interested in following with this one is I think among us, I think we understand that there are people outside of the ICANN community or even inside the ICANN community actually happy to see the value of the ICANN mechanisms, right? So in that sense, no matter in the CCWG or in the ICG, we see the people keep challenging this kind of mechanism and looking for the alternative of the possibility to create so-called another mechanism to replace that. And of course, it depends on the person. You know, for my personal opinion, this is not a very healthy way to see the internet growth in the futures. And so I ask this question, it's kind of related, is what is the NRSO, you know, RR people to see this community, the ICANN, whatever, this mechanism, are you pleased to see this mechanism still continue to maintain, and how we can help this ICANN continue to improve and go into a healthy development in the future and make sure the internet running secure, stability. You know, I think in that sense, we might be have the same kind of understanding about it.
If I could respond. So recognize that all of this has been instigated by the NTIA announcement regarding IANA stewardship, and because the RIR community has very good forcing functions to build consensus, and we work on building consensus policy separate from ICANN, and we rely on ICANN for review and ratification, and we have a contractual arrangement with ICANN, an understanding. When it came time to talk about transition of stewardship, that's a very straightforward discussion for the numbers community to have, which is why the proposal was produced in a timely manner. Our understanding is that in the names community, they didn't have the ability to as clearly understand how their consensus is distinct from ICANN's consensus, and don't have the clarity that comes with having a separate organization. And so they indicated that that required reforms of ICANN's accountability and kicked off the CCWG effort. The numbers community didn't kick that off, but we are paying attention to it. We have had no issues. If there was an issue with ICANN accountability, we would have been coming to the board talking about that long before NTIA did anything. So the point is, we've worked very well together. Obviously, we want to pay attention to the CCWG because we don't want the output of that to make things less predictable and accountable to our community. And there's always a potential of that, depending on what mechanisms are created and how they operate. Does that clarify? Yeah.
Yep. Thank you, John. I have Paul here. Do you want to talk to this subject? No, then I have Alan first.
Right. Alan Barrett, I have two comments. First, wearing my CRISP hat. When we talk about accountability in the numbers community, we usually mean consensus. We usually mean rough consensus. And so a single dissenting voice, in our view, is not sufficient to upset the rough consensus, provided the concerns have been addressed. And so if anybody's looking at the comments or complaints that have been made about the CRISP process, I would ask them to please bear in mind that even the comments which were not incorporated into the draft were considered, and we gave reasons why they had not been incorporated. And then my second comment is wearing my ASOAC hat. I would say that the ASOAC is aware of this proposal, but it's out of scope for us. We don't deal with this sort of level. We deal with the development of global policies. And if there's a desire for some kind of formal endorsement from the ASO, then in my personal opinion, the NROEC would be the group that would provide that.
Thank you. Paul?
Yeah, good morning, everyone. I'm a member of the ICG, and so just a couple of comments on the bottom-up question that Wilfred mentioned. The ICG has put a huge amount of effort and time into discussing and ensuring its transparency and openness. So, you know, the meetings are open, anyone can join, the archives are online, their mailing lists are open, there's a public Dropbox with all of the documentation and all of the past version of all the documents that are available online. So, excuse me, if anyone's not aware of that, then please be aware, and also please help to promote that fact to your communities. But excuse me, the thing that one of the issues that we've discussed at length, and again, you can see that discussion and you can see the results in terms of documentation, is how the ICG needs to be open to comments from the grassroots directly. So although I agree with Wilfred, the most elegant way for bottom-up to work is that it goes progressively through each stage. But the ICG hasn't ruled out. In fact, the ICG has completely enabled the receipt of comments from absolutely anyone. And I think that's important to understand as well, because you know, while we might have a preferred way that we'd see things work, we also have to allow for what should hopefully be the exceptions. So the ICG had a long discussion last week about exactly how we would be handling those public comments. Would they be acknowledged? Would they be followed up? Would they be simply passed on to the communities and so forth? And again, that's all open on the record for anyone to see. So just thought I'd make that remark that, you know, the ICG really has gone to, I think, the maximum. It's gone literally as far as it can, I think, to make things open and not to be accused of cutting any voice off at all from the process. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Councillor Navarro. I have two separate questions or issues. First of all, congratulations for the work made on the CRISP. I think it's a really interesting proposal. Talking as a lawyer, I think that it's a really easy to understand document, proposed a clear path for the future. So again, thank you very much for the time that you have invested in this document, and it's well received, and I was reading with quite a lot of attention. Perhaps this is not related with what we are discussing here, but perhaps something, you know, to keep in mind for the future. The last meeting that we had in LA was open to the public, and it was quite interesting to see and to interact with the audience and different constituencies. I think that we are having a really interesting discussion here, but for the future, it will be really, really interesting to try to keep, you know, what we did in LA, because the comments that we received from the community after that were quite positive, and I'm not sure why we are doing the same kind of format, you know, that we had in the past. Thank you.
No, thank you for that, and Duani.
Thank you. I'd like to make two comments. Well, first of all, it's of course very nice to receive all this positive feedback on the CRISP work, but I do think for the record, it's a little bit... there are two things that made our work very easy. One is that this work was started a very long time ago. So we are enjoying the advantages of that. The other is the very clear guidance from the community. So that also made our work very easy. And then just to comment on Wilfried's comments, While I agree that it's sometimes somewhat disappointing to hear concerns raised at the very end of a process that we feel, like Craig was saying, has been transparent, bottom-up, very inclusive, and we've been very, very open with, very diligent in reporting all the comments made. I also think it's sometimes healthy to have these concerns or dissenting voices raised at the end, because it's also an opportunity for us to actually explain this process again, simply because they're not only people in this community watching, but out there in the real world, so to speak. So it's also an opportunity for us to actually explain how this community works, explain what we mean with bottom-up, explain what we mean with consensus. So in that sense, I think it's healthy, and I think we should see it in that spirit. Thank you.
Thank you, Narani. Yeah. Okay, don't see any other comments coming up. Maybe we should move on to the next point on the agenda, being 26 minutes into the meeting. The intellectual property rights around IANA. You might have seen that the CRISP team has, in its proposal, put forward a recommendation or said that it would be nice if the IANA.org domain and the trademark would be lodged somewhere different from the expected IANA operator. We also see that the ITF has not done such a thing, and we've seen one question from the ICG whether those two details would be conflicting. And I think our general feeling is, no, they don't really conflict in a hard way. I do believe that there was actually yesterday afternoon a meeting between the ITF folks and the CRISP team. I don't know what came out of that. Anybody? Yes, Alan?
Sure, I can talk about that. We had an informal meeting between some of the people involved in the CRISP process and some of the people involved in the IETF. Our understanding is that the IETF is still discussing the issue, but it seems that they agree with us that there's no real conflict here, that we need some negotiation, we need to figure out some details. But there's not actually a conflict between the two proposals. It's not as though the numbers side said we must move the domain name and the IETF side we must not move the domain name. It's more like the numbers side said we think it's a good idea to move the domain name, and the IETF was silent on that issue. Although they had discussed it in their work leading up to their proposal, there was a group of people within the IETF that thought moving the domain name would be a good idea, but in the end they decided to leave that out of their proposal. So my personal opinion is that it's likely that we can reach an agreement where maybe the IETF will say they have no objection, and we will say, from the number side, we'll say we think it should move, and that's easy to resolve. We can just move the domain name. But, of course, ICANN would also have to be involved in that process. So we'd like to hear what ICANN thinks about it.
I'm sorry I didn't participate in that one. And I just following you, Alan, you are saying, is I'd like to know, is there any IANA office people participating?
No.
What about the ICANN staff supporting the ASO? It's not, no ICANN people participating there?
No, we've not formally spoken to them at all. They weren't in the meeting.
I think Steve, it might be it's very important for us, the ICANN staff, or maybe some of the legal people, or IANA office people should participate in that one, because they are talking about the IPR stuff, and that is it's a three parties that are engaging in, is IETF and the number community, also the IANA office. So if our people, the ICANN people that didn't participate, that would be, it's something missing there.
No, Steve?
Yeah, thank you. So, Kuo, you raise a very, very important point. Alan, let me try to bring all the pieces here together. From an attitude or posture point of view, we have no problem with this at all. From an operational viewpoint, there are some details to work out. And as Kuo suggests, it would be helpful to have some people in the room who actually are dealing with all of this and can bring some specifics to bear. I think that would be a very good idea. It makes no sense at all if one's considering the very unlikely but eventuality of, you know, that the IANA function moves somewhere else, that the domain name would continue to be an issue. It should go with it. There's more complicated scenarios in which things fracture, and then you have to, in some sense, our life as simple as your problem. I mean, but from a broad point of view, we've got no issue. We are tracking the dialogue back and forth very carefully. I have to say that on balance, the position that over-engineering a solution in the absence of a lot of details is maybe going to lead down a bit of a rat hole. But from we'd have no discomfort at all trying to make the situation comfortable for others and to be very clear about that.
Thank you for that, Steve. Barbara?
Hi, Barbara Roseman. I'm the ASO support person from policy, and I also support the ESSEC and therefore participate in the IETF somewhat.
And was previously general manager of the IANA function, actually knows something about this subject.
I was just going to add to what Steve said that we have been following this quite closely. I'm involved in almost all the lists that are discussing this, and you know, we're trying to let it play out a little bit between the RIRs and the IETF, because I think that there's specific considerations that the IAOC that the IETF has about the IAOC taking over this responsibility. However, I don't think that there's been any objection raised on the ICANN side to how this would eventually turn out. It's really a question of the groups coming to some agreement on what would be best for them. And so I think that's I just want to reassure you that we are watching it closely.
Thank you. That makes me all optimistic. John.
I think there's been very good discussion on this within the RIR community and within the IETF community. And it's actually fairly simple. The convergence is around recognition of the fact that long-term, if something were to happen and there were to be multiple IANA operators for protocols and numbers and names, it's possible they would all want to make use of the term IANA and would want to make use of their portion of the domain name. And so it's just looking at that is 100% assured if those contracts were issued by NTIA tomorrow to multiple operators. And it's completely unknown if it were to happen generically or organically in the community over 10 years and we didn't make arrangements. So I don't think it's a mystery, and it actually isn't probably as much about who holds what as just acknowledging that we all know this is available to everyone who's operating part of the IANA. And I think that I have a pretty high level of faith that'll come out of the interaction between the communities and the ICG over the next few months.
Thank you, John. Craig?
Thanks, Axel. I think it's very important to make the point that RIRs are not seen to be trying to do a land grab. I think we share the same principle with the IETF, which is, as John has expressed, that the intellectual property rights can't be used as a shield to prevent a later transition to someone else in the future. So I think in the CRISP proposal, it was very clear that the IANA intellectual property rights, if you like, are attached to the functions and not to the operator. And the suggestion for putting it in the IETF trust is but a stated preference and a possibility, not a mandatory requirement.
Thank you. Do you have any other comments regarding IANA stewardship transition at this point? All right. That doesn't seem to be the case. Then maybe I wrap it up with saying that, of course, seeing that we have a proposal for the numbers section that finds support in the communities, one of the big principles in this is that we would like to see as little change as absolutely necessary for stability and all that, to keep turmoil to an absolute minimum. And having said that, we had a quick meeting yesterday with Fadi. I would very much like us to progress down this road, looking at the original ICG timeline, to have some agreement between the RIRs and ICANN ready maybe in June, so that we can see what we would have to implement or whether it's all implemented already, because we want minimal change, and to keep that running for the rest of the year to the original timeline to be ready for evaluation of those mechanisms by September, just for your information. And Fadi said basically that's his plan as well, so we are moving forward with that very gently. Right. Then the next point on the agenda, RIR meetings participation. As you know, ICANN people, you are always very, very welcome to attend ICANN meetings. Yes, certainly that too. It would be disappointing if you weren't. RIR meetings as well. There, of course, are a number of them upcoming. I have heard from Fadi that he is planning to attend two of them this year, and as usual, if you have any plans, please don't let us know. Just turn up. It would be great. Ray.
A couple things on that. First of all, Gonzalo pointed out earlier about the fact that we are, again, in a small room, and we don't have availability to the larger group of people that are here. I said in an email this morning to the board, it's almost as if the board considers the ASO NRO to be a troubled relative that you can only visit in secluded places from time to time. The reception in L.A. was very, very well received, being in what amounted to the same large meeting area that the sub-elements of the GNSO were at, and also the fact that it was actually published in being very open. It was well received and it was actually well attended. So this needs to continue to happen, what happened in L.A. The second thing in matter of participation, I have spoken earlier about the fact that ICANN needs to find a way to assist in travel support for people from the various ALSs to attend regional registry meetings so they can participate in the policy processes. I also understand, John, that recently the Naralo and Aaron have signed a memorandum. So if you could take a few minutes to say something about that, I'd appreciate it, and then I'd like to respond.
Yeah, I'd just like to, we did sign a memorandum of understanding with the NRALO to cross-communicate information about our events so that the NRALO community is aware of policy development activities and our meeting activities going on, and that that will help facilitate their involvement in things. We have an active fellowship program, so that becomes an opportunity for them. And we think it's a very positive step. And as Axel said, we would encourage meeting participation to the extent that you want to see the next level of detail down in policy development, feel free to come by one of the RIR meetings.
And to that end, and I know that other regions have also previously signed agreements, it would probably be worthwhile for the IRRs to consider to somehow or other maybe be able to create a track or some other coordinated effort so that the RALO in their particular region could, for example, have a general assembly, and that then the persons that are at that General Assembly that at some point in time could then cross and get into the regional registry policy discussions. All regional registries do that right now with various other aspects, so this would be loading something else onto it. And, of course, I would expect that ICANN somehow or other would be able to find ways of funding that activity as well. I don't think ICANN has to spend it directly. I think that they can actually support existing regional registry programs. And, John, I guess you want to respond to me.
I just want to say, amongst other things in cooperation, is cooperation on meetings. We are looking at the opportunity of having an NRALO meeting adjacent to an IRON meeting for just that purpose.
Yeah. So I think the big thing is to get some funding going. And like I said, ICANN providing funds to the regional registries to bolster their own existing fellowship programs would help probably a lot.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you. Cyrano Shvardanyan, AP RALO chair. And being the chair of one of the RALOs, I also would like to mention that we have official MOUs with APNIC and APTLD, and we have already in place the example of participation of our ALSs in the upcoming RIR meeting in Apricot 2015. And I would like to thank also for support from APNIC to cover participation fee for our two members to go there, though there are some difficulties with the participation relates to that the Apricot itself is about 10 days meeting, but our ALSs are able to go within the due to the CROP program, community outreach pilot program, and it gives only the possibility for 3 days, two nights. So we found out due to the agenda which part is the most important for our ALSs to be there. But I think that this is the example that should be used in future and should be extended for all RALOs and RIRs as a cooperation, as a good step for future development. Thank you.
Thank you. Sounds promising. Alan.
Alan Barrett. I'd like to mention that in the Afrinic region, we do have good cooperation between ICANN structures and the RIR and the technical community. And I'd like to invite everybody to our next combined meeting in Tunisia at the end of May and the beginning of June. There will be AFRINIC, the African Network Operators Group, AFTLD, and AFRILO. I believe they're all meeting in the same place during the same 1 or 2 week period.
Very good. Ram?
Thank you. I wanted to highlight a couple of points and make a couple of observations. You know, RIRs have policy discussions. There's a robust process to do that. But my observation is that much of that is invisible to many in the ICANN community. I mean, this is something that you all already know. But I just wanted to acknowledge that. And this community often is focused on naming issues as compared to either protocol parameters or addressing issues. So given that, it strikes me that there might be a few things that we should together focus on doing. One is a demonstration of the diverse and thriving mechanisms for policy discussions, as well as technology introduction rollouts, as well as decision-making. And it's not homogenous, right? You all know it, we know it, but not everybody here knows it. But it feels like there is not much of a demonstration of that. I hear many of you in many meetings say, it's there, it exists, this is robust, it's thriving. If only you came, you would understand it. And I submit to you that's not good enough. Right, there ought to be a way to actually maybe get some visualizations or some kind of education of how that actually is done, and have that be available in a large scale to the participants who come to ICANN. Some ideas there, you know, potentially is material in the ICANN bags. Pretty much everybody wants them, and they before they put it in the trash, they actually often look at them, right? The other thing is ICANN runs an induction course for newbies. There's a whole newbie program, and there's an induction course. I don't know if there's material that is already being presented, or if it is being presented, if that can be enhanced. One of the things that seems to have received good responses from this community is a few years ago, ICANN engaged with an organization called Explain, and they worked with community members, and they came up with some visualizations of the ecosystem, etc. And I find that those graphics and those visualizations are being used across the board in many communities. They're being disseminated and used. So I don't know if you already have, if you've already done the work, and if it's simply a matter of distribution, or if that work ought to be done. But either way, it feels like we're leaving many gaps, and we're spending quite a bit of time kind of bemoaning our fate that there is not enough interest or dissemination. And my perspective, I'm pretty biased towards action.
Oh, I would support that, and I think we have started to move into this. In the beginning, I said it was great to see that the Monday in the opening session there was more substance about us and the other communities as well. So it's moving there. But you're right; there's much more that we could do. I have Paul, Ray, and John.
Yeah, I just wanted to say thanks again to ICANN for the opportunity to present that in the opening, because since Alan and I gave our speeches, I've had quite a few people sort of say, wow, 10 meetings a year, and the stat from Alan was 50 policy proposals over the last year, with 15 of them coming through the process. And this is something that happens out there and which many people are not aware of. Great for ICANN board to be there. It's great that we are able to participate or collaborate with the ICANN regional folks. So in the Asia Pacific, we've worked with Quek's team and conducted sort of ICANN forum kind of sessions at our meetings recently, and I think that can increase. But again, I think it's really good to take the opportunity to promote that opportunity to others. And a kind of a measure of success for me would be if we started to see participation by Asia Pacific GAC members in our meetings, because that would kind of represent, I think, a new level of bringing people in who I really think need to understand, and we need to understand in the work that we do. Thanks,
Ray.
Thanks, Axel. Good comments, Paul. I agree. If those that remember back to the days of WISIS, all of the outreach material that we produced in multiple languages, and despite the fact our forum caught on fire at WISIS 2 and everything else, material that's present, that's used, for example, in a newcomer orientation at an ICANN meeting, unfortunately also reflects the level of knowledge of the ICANN staff. Now, that's improving because recently, within the last year, I've been able to get David Olive talking to the NRO-CCG, the Communications Coordination Group. And so it's imperative for both ICANN staff and the NRO to be mutually engaged in this. I think that the CCG, and if I was on the EC, I would actually strongly encourage, as you guys know how I would, that this happen, and that the CCG actually become much more active in this regard as providing appropriate educational material. The ICANN staff certainly should be part of that. They should also be able to help the CCG frame it into the language of the people that are going to get it. And I'm talking about not their, whether they're speaking English or French or whatever, but to, into their relative experience in terms of names and so forth. And when they start seeing some of the commonalities exist, as Alan pointed out in his report about reductions of workload and who is and privacy and all of those things, it there's really some good cross-fertilization that can occur. So it's incumbent on both the NRO, and I point out using the CCG as one of them, and the ICANN staff to work. That level of cooperation does exist, for example, between the engineering coordination group and ICANN, very much so. And so we just need to get that working with the CCG as well.
Thank you. I have three more on the list, and I want to close the list then as well. We have 9 minutes to go or 10 minutes to go, and Steve wants to close the thing as well. So, John.
Good comments on this topic. I'm going to be the one with the bucket of cold water. So I want to be very clear. There's different ICANNs. There's ICANN, the DNS policy development body, and there's ICANN, the overall Internet Identifier Coordination Entity. And it's not clear that the average attendee to the DNS policy development process wants to be educated about what's happening in the RIRs or what's happening in the IETF, for that matter. There is, right now in the IETF, 1,000 drafts, internet drafts out there. You can read them all day, and I could present for hours. So we have to be sensitive, folks, that not everyone is involved in every community. We want to do extensive outreach. We want to do extensive awareness. We want people to know these are the discussions going on. But at the end of the day, we also have to point out they're going on in other meetings, and you actually have to participate, or you have to go remotely online to become involved, okay? It does not all occur at ICANN. The ICANN DNS community doing DNS policy development is very important, but please don't expect the RIRs or the IETF to show up here because you have two different things going on, ICANN overall coordination and ICANN DNS policy development, and it is not clear that we need to brief all the DNS policy people on the details of our policy proposals or the IETF internet drafts any more than the IETF attendees want to hear about everything going on in the GNSO. It should be that they're aware of what's going on, that they know where it's taking place, they know how to get involved remotely or online, but they need to consciously decide to participate in these processes. And we should not assume everyone is a policy participant in every policy forum. It's not correct.
Thanks, John.
Thank you, Axel. Rinalia Abdurrahim, board member selected by the at-large. And I've raised this issue before about getting at-large participation in the RIR meetings. And I've spoken with Paul Wilson before. And so I understand the sensitivities in terms of whether the participation can be meaningful. But the first step towards getting to meaningful participation is helping the community have a better understanding of what's happening at the IRR, what is the policy process, how do you engage? And we're starting to break the ice on that, but it's only at the surface level, and the engagement is starting, and that's very encouraging. Now, there's in the ICANN London meeting, there was an Atlas Summit. It was the summit of all the ALSs accredited by ICANN. And one of the recommendations that is coming to the board is having regional assemblies, RALO assemblies in the region. And one of the challenges that we're facing is, for example, for AP RALO in the Asia-Pacific region, next year, because of the ICANN meeting rotation, there is no ICANN meeting in the Asia-Pacific region. So we have to think about where to locate the AP RALO meeting should they get that funding. And one of the concrete suggestions is to co-locate it with an RIR meeting, which is UPNIC. And so the question that I have is that if we were to make that possible, is it possible to have cross-pollination in the sense that some of the UPNIC people come over to the AP RALO meeting and explain, help them understand, understanding that you are busy with your own meeting. And so I want to have an understanding on whether or not that's possible logistically. Thank you.
That would depend on the details, I think, but I'm sure that we would be willing. I'm talking for all of the RIRs. George.
Thank you, Axel. I just want to give a strong plus one to what Ram said. And I think John's observation about the policy spaces being different is relevant here, too. It's very difficult for any of us who really want to know more about RIRs to find it out here, both because you don't present it, and that's okay, but the fact is we are absorbed. We are totally absorbed by what's going on here, and there is no way we're going to be able to provide any space in time to address RIR issues. I think the way in which one has to do it is to go to an RIR meeting. I'm planning to do that. I think it's the only way to immerse yourself in these issues that RIRs deal with and have some understanding of the nuances of what's going on in addition to the main thrusts. The notion of co-location has come up several times. It makes good sense to include RIR meetings as focal points in regions. It reduces travel within the region and it enhances the attractiveness for people outside the region to participate. Thank you.
Shortly.
Yeah. Just a good summary of this, of the topic. I would like to invite all of you today to come at 6:30 to celebrate Apiralo diversity in VIP lounge. Thank you.
Thank you. Good to see so much discussion. We have 4 minutes left. Steve? Dima?
Actually, I have one question, because during the last few weeks, I have got a lot of requests as from RIP members and simply businesses, customers, government, regarding future in situation when U.S. sanctions growing against Russian internet populations. I try to simplify and I have a question. Does ICANN has any U.S. Treasury Office of Foreign Asset Control license on IANA functions and on the ICANN DNS activities? If not, does ICANN plan to apply for such licenses? Or we should close our internet shops?
Question to ICANN.
I'm not sure that I've heard. I mean, there's been no discussion that I've been involved in on this. You guys want to respond
anymore? For the record, Elise Garrick, ICANN. Dima, I think you're asking about if there were any sort of OFAC concerns. So we have not had any difficulty applying for licenses to do the work of the IANA functions with any country, and I don't anticipate that, but I really don't have a crystal ball.
It's not directly related, for example, to hopefully to RIR activity. Hopefully we are outside of U.S. jurisdiction. But what's really happened, maybe you don't know, because thousands of DNS registrations canceled with no relative. If you even have some metadata related to some territory of Russia, registration was canceled. Not only GoDaddy, but different registrants. And of course, in this situation, we have a question, for example, regarding the registry and registrar located in Russia, because of course we serve all our populations. Should we expect that ICANN will cancel contract?
Dima, I don't think that we can sufficiently.
It's regarding IANA function also. It's general, because it will influence on the future of the whole system. Please take seriously to this.
No, I don't think that we can answer this now, but I think we have another meeting this evening over drinks in a relaxed atmosphere. Maybe we can take it forward there a little bit more. Steve, last words?
Thank you, Axel. I want to take this opportunity to note that you have a very serious challenge in front of you, because a very significant event is taking place. Our esteemed colleague, Ray Polzak, is completing his term this year and will rotate off of the board. I've had the pleasure of working with Ray not only in the 6 years that he's been on the board,
but he's a charter member of SSAC and served as vice chair with me for a number of years there. Ray's brought an incredible amount of energy, focus, deep, deep knowledge and history of the entire system, enormous commitment, you have an enormous challenge in your selection process. I don't want to comment on any particular choices. You've got a set of people I know that you're looking at, but these are very big shoes to fill. One other couple of details. The term that we aligned the terms to all start in the at our annual general meeting, but the selection period, the timing of selection, is as it was before, because it feeds into the selections that the NOMCOM has to make for its selections, and one of the requirements is some constraints on the geographic balance. So I know that you're proceeding on good schedule, and I just wanted to highlight that. We also make a point of inviting incoming board members to join us at a retreat that the board has prior to the next ICANN meeting. We will have one in September. So I think the critical dates from where I'm sitting are that the NOMCOM probably needs the information before the Buenos Aires meeting, before the June meeting, because that's when they meet and I think do their primary work. And then we will invite whoever is selected to join us at our September retreat and come up to speed. And then we will say farewell with great regret to Ray. You'll have to suffer through this and many other similar comments as we go. I hope not.
That brings us to the end. Thank you very much for the opportunity to meet you and talk to you. And we'll see you later this evening. And we'll try to make the next meeting venue a little bit bigger so that more people can come in. Thank you.